Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Hello, there we go. Right about now you're saying, "Well, that he's out of order. This isn't what comes next in the bulletin." What? Yeah, well, maybe, maybe not. Yeah. What does it say at the end of our service in the bulletin? Holy Spirit is in charge. And this is like life. We don't want to ever get too comfortable in the traditions and in the way we do things. We don't ever want to get too comfortable in the way we live our lives that when there's a change, we get all bent out of shape. Because the Holy Spirit's in charge. God is the boss. Just recently, I preached on the authority of God's word, and today I'm going to preach about who's the boss. And it's real similar to that other sermon. Different in some ways, but it's every bit as important. When I preached on the authority of God's word, I said I believed it was the biggest battle we're fighting in the world today about whether the Bible is really the word of God or not. I believe it's one of the most important sermons that I've ever preached. Today is also on the same level, one of the most important sermons I'll ever preach to you. The authority of God's word and the fact that God said it, God ordered it, God commanded it, his word, well, it's what separates the children from the adults. Jesus, God, our King and Creator of the whole universe. It leaves no margin for error. No margin for error. Recognizing that God is the boss in our lives takes away the gray areas and eliminates fence sitting in Christianity. And let me tell, I've got to tell you, there's a lot of fence sitting in Christianity. A lot of us will be Christians when it suits our purposes and when it's comfortable. But the Christianity goes out the window when things get a little rough, a little tough, and it's uncomfortable. When we're called upon to do things that we don't like to do, we pass the buck. We're not doing it. And we become fence sitters. And it's one of my biggest fears is that we as Christians are fence sitters, doing what is easy to do, what we enjoy doing, working a little bit, giving some, but not living and giving to the depth which God has called us to give. Jesus said that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Not pick and choose, but you'll obey my commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll eat my flesh, drink my blood.
Jesus said, you have to love me more than you love your children. Can you imagine that? You have to love me more than you love your children, more than you love your spouse. You have to love me more than you love your own life. Pick up your cross daily, every day, and follow me. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. It's Jesus speaking. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, and because you're lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. I don't want anything to do with you. Got a lot of lukewarm Christians, a lot of lukewarm churches. Huh? People, we got so many Christians who think that just because they go to church most every Sunday, because they help out here and there, because they throw a couple of bucks in the offering plate, that that's all they have to do. They're saved. They can go off and do what they want to do the rest of the week. They can make their own plans. They can enjoy things that they think might be a little shady. Maybe God isn't too happy about some of the things we do, but that's okay. I'm a good person most of the time. That's called being lukewarm. And that makes me afraid. Don't want to be lukewarm. You know, we think we're doing so well. We think we're doing so much for God. God just saying, man, you can't run hot one day and cold the next, because when you put it together, it comes out lukewarm. We always say the Lord's Prayer. You know, I love the Lord's Prayer. You love the Lord's Prayer. I don't have my glasses on. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do we mean it? Do we mean it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done? In other words, we're saying to God, you're the boss, you're the king. I will live my life doing what you want me to do. Not just when it suits me, but you're in charge. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell me what to do, God. I'm your servant. Everything that I have belongs to you. Use it. Use me as you see fit. Do we really mean it? Little illustration. You may have heard this parable. It's been around a long time. Once upon a time, there was a man who was sleeping at night in his cabin, when suddenly his room was filled with a holy light, and the Savior appeared. And the Lord told the man that he had work for him to do. And so he took the man outside, and he showed him out in front of the cabin, there was a very large rock. And he told the man that he wanted to push against that rock with all his might. Push against that rock with all your might. And so the man did that day after day. For many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown. His shoulders set squarely against that rock, that cold, massive rock, pushing with all of his might, day after day, year after year. He did what God told him. And each night, the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain because that rock didn't move one iota. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind, such as, you have been pushing against that rock for a long time and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it. You're a failure. thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible. And these thoughts, they discouraged and disturbed the man, disheartened him. Why should he kill himself over this? And he thought, I'll just put my time in, giving the minimum effort. That will be good enough. And he planned to do that until one day he decided to take it into prayer. So he went to God and he poured out his heart to God and he said, Lord, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you asked me to do. Yet after all this time, I haven't budged that rock even a half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I a failure? And to this, the Lord responded compassionately, my child, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was only to push against it. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back sinewed and brown, your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. And yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my child, will now move the rock. So let me ask you, who's the boss? Who's the boss? Now, I know if Terry was being honest like me, Terry would say, Debbie's the boss. And I would say, Bonnie's the boss.
That's being politically correct.
Yes. You know, when I counsel couples for getting married, I always tell the guy the two most important words you need to know are?
Yes, dear.
These guys know it. Yeah, yes, dear. That's right. But ultimately, in all of life, in everything that we do, who's the boss? God. But a lot of us aren't living like it. A lot of us are living like we punch a time clock with God and we only serve him sometimes, some places, once in a while. Usually when it's convenient or usually when we're in dire need. But God wants to be the boss all the time. In fact, God demands to be the boss all the time. And God says, if you're only going to serve me part-time, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How many people here have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? And we had a few more in the first service that saw Hacksaw Ridge. Great, great movie. True story. It's violent because it's about World War II. But it's about a man who goes into the army and he's a conscientious objector. He wants to be in the army to do his part. All his friends have enlisted, and so he's going to enlist too. Except he won't touch a rifle. He's a man of great faith. He says, I will not pick up a rifle. So he goes in, signs up as a medic. He wants to save lives. And when it comes time in boot camp for them to learn how to use a rifle, he won't touch one. They throw him in the brig. You're going to jail, buddy. And if you don't pick up that rifle, we're going to court-martial you. And he says, I refuse. He says, God told me not to touch a rifle. I am only in this to save lives, not to take lives. And his own men didn't trust him because he wouldn't pick up a gun. So he was brought up on charges. He's going through his court-martial. And when his dad walks in, his dad, who served in World War I, and he had a letter from some general or something, and the letter said to accept this man, to let him be a conscientious objector, and if he didn't want to pick up a rifle and he wanted to face the enemy, that was his business, but he could be a medic. And so they let him be a medic. And then they shipped him off to this place to fight the Japanese called Hacksaw Ridge. And he had to climb up these rope ladders onto the top of this huge cliff and then fight the enemy all the way inland. Only the enemy, the Japanese, kept pushing them back, and they had to come back down the cliff. Hundreds of men were getting killed left and right. And this young man started saving lives as a medic. And when they pushed everybody off the cliff, that young man turned around and said, "Okay, God, you sent me here to save lives." And he heard somebody moaning, and he went back in by himself, and he saved another soldier, carried him over to the cliff, tied a rope around him, and lowered him down. And he went back in, and he saved another one, and lowered him down. And then he went and saved another one and lowered him down. And the soldiers at the bottom of the cliff were wondering, where were all these soldiers coming from? What was going on here? And his young man said, "Okay, what do you want me to do now, God?" And he heard another soldier moaning. And there was fog and smoke and enemy soldiers everywhere. But he crawled back in and saved another one. He saved 72 soldiers that night. True story. 72 soldiers. His hands were blistered from lowering the rope. He was worn to a frazzle. He eventually got injured. But he lived. And they had an interview with him, with the real person after the movie. Amazing movie. True story. About a man who made God his boss. And did what he was told, even in the face of imminent death. God wants to be our boss all the time. Results. Results are up to God. Push against the rock. Whatever it is God has called you to do in life, push against the rock. Do what you're told. That's all God wants us to do, to be obedient. I tell you, life will change for you. God loves you, and so do I.